Greetings again in Jesus' name. I'm going to try to cover the bases up here myself this morning. I'm going to ask in advance for your forbearance if I forget something. Appreciate those songs, Shane, as what I am wanting to speak about today is praise. And both of those songs are very specifically referring to praise. Praise can be an expression of thankfulness. Sunday mornings, we go to church, we gather, we worship. We never give it another thought. We just kind of take it for granted. But this morning, I would like to praise God for this privilege of coming together as a church to worship Him. I am thankful to the founding fathers that wrote into the Constitution the right to worship. I think I have that here somewhere. The First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And it guarantees us the right to worship as we please. I'm thankful to them for that, but let's look at a few verses in Ezra 1 to keep it in a proper perspective. Ezra 1, verses 1 through 3. Now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, The Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. We see there the king Cyrus, we would say, gets the credit for making this happen, for allowing this to take place, for supporting it. And just generally speaking, he was the one that gave them the right to do this. But let's go on to verses 10 and 13 in chapter 3 of Ezra. It says, And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, the king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good. For his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Nowhere do we read where they offered praise to Cyrus. They gave the honor and glory went to God, and they recognized that. And I think it is the same today for us this morning. We want to honor God and thank Him and praise Him for this right to worship here this morning. All praise went to God then, and it should go to Him now. It mentions singing there. That is a very common way of praising God. I think it is kind of a universal concept this morning. Wherever there are people gathered in Jesus' name, there will more than likely be singing. There's a lot of difference in methods of singing, the way we do it, the way others do it, but I think it can all honor God and praise Him. I was remembering this morning about back in 2005 or 6, when the hurricane was in New Orleans. It's very important you don't sound the R. We went down there, several of us, to work down there to help with the rebuilding. And it was a very worthwhile experience, but you find out in a hurry that some people are more, it's more of a blessing to work for them than others. Some of them kind of feel entitled to the right to have you come and fix up their houses or whatever. But this one fellow was a black pastor of a church there, and it was just a very plain church. It was a metal building with a metal roof, and the roof was damaged, so we got to strip off the damaged metal and put on new roof for him. And he was very appreciative. He was very thankful. He did not feel entitled. He just blessed us over and over for doing that. And I would take a little tour of the church house with him inside sometime during that day, and I noticed that there were no songbooks anywhere. So I asked him, I said, "Why don't you people sing down here in church service?" And he looked at me kind of strangely, and he picked up a Bible, and he said, "We sings right out of the Bible." And that is the original songbook. If you read through the Psalms and some parts of Isaiah, it is the original songbook. I would like to someday attend a worship service there and just observe how they actually do it. I didn't ask anymore. I don't know anymore what their method is, but that's what he said. When we think about praising God, it's not hard to praise when the crops are good, when we're cutting the fifth cutting of alfalfa or 200 bushel acre corn. But what about when the crops fail? Do we praise God? It's easy to praise when we have lots of rain, but what about the drought years? Did we praise God the last couple of years like we would have if we would have had plenty of rain? It's easy to praise if we have a good job or lots of work, but what if we lose our job? Or what if we have a job that does things don't go well? What if we have a financial loss? It's easy enough to praise if we have a lot of money in the bank, but what if we have a huge loss? How about when our children are healthy? It's easy to praise then, but what if they are sick? What if they're suffering? What if they die? Do we praise God? How about if God sends us an ideal partner, one that we want, a husband or wife? It's easy to praise God then, but what if he doesn't? What if he takes that partner? Do we praise God? Praise is so much more than merely being thankful. A song come to mind this morning says, "For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley, and the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night." So how do we praise God when the valleys are deep? I'd like to look at Acts 16 a little bit, where it tells us the story of Paul and Silas. We know the story, how they were unfairly treated and thrown into prison. And then it says in verse 25, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Now, do we really think that Paul and Silas felt like singing praises? They had to be miserable. They were probably cold. They probably had blood all over them from the whipping they had received and welts. Verse 21 says they took their clothes off, so they were probably very cold and miserable. And then they were in the inner part of the prison, it says, and they were had their feet fastened in stocks, which would be probably one of the most uncomfortable positions you could possibly have. And they sang praises. Why? Why did they sing praises? They didn't. They certainly didn't because they felt good. I think that they automatically turned there for comfort. They sang praises because that is who they were. The circumstances they were in did not change who they were or who God is. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." I think that sacrifice of praise, and I'm not saying I understand it fully, but I think that is more meaningful to God when we bring that kind of praise to him. I don't think that Paul and Silas expected to what happened to happen. They sang praises and it opened doors further to things that they had not expected. The jailer and his house were saved. And I think probably God used that whole incident to bring salvation to the jailer and his house. God and his ways are so much greater than our comprehension that we have no right to question it. When we bring the sacrifice of praise, I think we honor God more meaningfully. And also, I think one of the first things that happens is it brings us closer to God. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And that is one thing that happens. How many times can we read that David, the psalmist, says, "I will praise thee"? I think many times David praised God when he didn't really feel like it. If we purpose in our heart to praise God in all situations, it brings us closer to God immediately. Then other doors can open, all according to the will of God. This morning we have different situations among us. Things that we don't understand, but we do understand that God is the creator and ruler of all and that he cares about everything. Also, we know that he is here this morning. Think of the situation with Marion this morning, and I think of the testimony of praise that she is leaving us, and I bless God for that. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It says in everything, not for everything. God is God, and we will praise him. I'd like to have you stand, and we will sing a verse of song, and then we'll remain standing for prayer. Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for allowing us to worship here this morning as we choose. We pray that you would guide us as we worship, that we would have a meaningful service, that we can have our needs met according to your will. We think of the situation with Marion and just pray that you would continue to give her grace, and that she can have thoughts of you as long as she can think. And pray for those around her that you would give them grace and strength and comfort during this time. We praise you for what you have done for us through Jesus, that you made all things possible. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we transition to the Sunday school time now. Mike Yutzi's class will be going to George Compton's, so you can gather on the front steps. We'll dismiss the teachers in the basement at this time. Preschool and primary students can go. Juniors and intermediate. Let's see, the adult lesson today is Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 10. And let's assemble in our classes.